Well, Father, I thank you tonight and I praise you, and I just give you all honor and all glory. I thank you, Father God, for those who come out into the house of God tonight to sit at your feet, to be fed fresh manna from heaven, and to leave here different than when they came, full of your glory, full of your faith, full of your love, full of your understanding. And Father God, I just thank you for the teaching tonight. Let us receive it, Father God, with ears that are wide open and a heart that's wide open to receive it. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this teaching this morning and the teaching tonight, God is dealing with the Lighthouse Church, all right? Now, remember, this morning I said God told me there was compromise in the church. So I want each one of you to search your heart and get that compromise out, because God can't use you as long as you're compromising. Tonight I want to teach about faith and greater faith. The time of renewing your faith has come. God has spoken and said, now is the time we have to renew our faith more than ever before because of the circumstances we're going to be going into. And I got, as I was sitting here tonight praising, I remember God telling me when I was first born again that some were born to suffer. And I was one of those that would suffer continually in my walk with him, but I had forgotten about that. So because I was murmuring to myself about something today. So tonight he reminded me, I already forewarned you that some are born to suffer, and you were one of those. So see, saints of God, you have to understand what God has really called over your life, what he's spoken into your life, and then let's not forget it. Because if you're like me, when you forget it, you start murmuring and complaining, and that makes God upset. Because he already forewarned us, and so we should be able to just buckle up and take whatever God has us go through. So John 7, 6, and 7, we're going to read some more scripture tonight because I want you to see it's in the Word. All right? John 7, 6, and 7, then Jesus said to them, my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. Now, the Message Bible says, later, Jesus was going about his business in Galilee. He didn't want to travel in Judea because the Jews there were looking for a chance to kill him. Excuse me. It was near the time of Tabernacles, a feast observed annually by the Jews. His brother said, why don't you leave here and go up to the feast so your disciples can get a good look at the works you do? He was poking fun at him. No one who intends to be publicly known does everything behind the scenes. If you're serious about what you're doing, come out in the open and show the world. His brothers were pushing him like this because they didn't believe in him either. Jesus came back at them, excuse me, don't crowd me. This isn't my time. It's your time. It's always your time. You have nothing to lose. The world has nothing against you, but it's up in arms against me. It's against me because I expose the evil behind his pretensions. What did he say? They hate me because I expose the evil. If you're really teaching the Word of God the way you should, then the world's going to hate you. Now, if the world thinks you're pretty neat and nifty, then you're not really teaching the Word of God the way God wants you to teach it. All right? Before we get into this teaching tonight, the one thing you have to get in your spirit is that if you are teaching repentance, you will not be liked. In fact, according to Jesus, you will be hated. Get that in your spirit right now. Come on, guys. Don't think you're going to go out there and everybody's going to clap and shout and everything else because you're on the scene. They're going to say, oh my God, no, not again. That's going to be their attitude. So I want you to understand that if you're really in Christ, if you're really doing the works of Christ, people are not going to like you, period. Just the way it is. Are we in a contest to see who's the winner, who's liked most? I think we're in a contest to see who's hated the most, really. Come on. The second thing you need to understand is that we are in the battle of the ages, and Satan is vying for our very lives. You do not have the option of sitting down and licking your wounds. You need to dress yourself in the full armor of God and go forth and face the giants in the land. And see this? God has already fully equipped his body for warfare. He has given us every weapon that he has in his arsenal in heaven. We have no excuse for not battling. If you are not battling, souls are slipping in the abyss every second of every day. And when God spoke all this to me, he was very upset because he's in my body. He claimed to be called by my name are not out there doing the works that I have foreordained them to do. Come on. The reason why you're not is because you're still messed up yourself. And you don't have the anointing to go out there and do the works that God's calling you forth to do. But God is trying to get us to the place where we will be able to go and do the works he's calling us forth to do. All right, what is your problem? Why can't you stand up and face the giants in the land? What is holding you back from facing the enemy and defeating him at every turn? Now, do you all remember when God called this church to come hither into the third heaven and abide there? Do you all remember that night? It was a night, wasn't it? All right. That was a divine calling, and I don't believe everybody took that calling seriously. Let's talk about the third heaven calling. The third heaven church and the divine mark of generosity and prosperity. That's what we should have on us, a divine mark of prosperity and generosity. The Lord has released a new portion of glory upon us. If you receive that third heaven calling, the Lord has released a new portion of glory upon us. He is calling us to be third heaven people. People who participate with the host of heaven in worship and prayer before the throne of God. A third heaven church, explanation, second heaven is the atmosphere above us where spiritual warfare takes place, all right? The Bible speaks of the principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, wicked spirits in heavenly places. You see that in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, when we pray and push through the second heaven, the second heaven activity, we can experience glorious encounters with the Lord in the third heaven. And that's what God was saying to us that night. Press through the second heaven and come up here and abide with me in the third heaven. He was very adamant about that. The Lord Jesus is initiating third heaven encounters with his people on planet Earth. He said, seek me, look to me, take up your cross and follow me. God is looking at the Lighthouse Church and he's looking to see who really took him serious that night. The spirit of giving, the spirit of generosity is a supernatural sign of a third heaven church, and you people do meet that criteria. It is a divine mark. God desires to mark you with financial signs and wonders. Now, prophetic third heaven evangelism is God's main method of operating at this time. Prophetic third heaven evangelism is God's main method of operating at this time. Through prophetic means, Jesus is gaining the attention of this generation. This is why he said the prophets are coming on the scene, but you have to watch because there's false prophets also coming that have come on the scene. Jesus is not only looking for a third heaven people, he's preparing to financially back up his third heaven people. So whatever you place your hands to do, if God has called you to do it, he will financially back it. The word says, my sheep hear my voice. Are you listening to your great shepherd? Are you listening to the voice of God so he can lead, guide, and direct you in the path that you need to go to open up a business or whatever it is God is calling you forth to do? Do you know even being an usher, God wants to tell you how to usher? He really does. And if you just be, if you just listen, God will be speaking to you and tell you different things to do. Maybe he'll say, ushering somebody in here. He might say, touch their arm. He might tell you to quietly pray over them, speak something great over them. Ushering is a very important part in the body of Christ, even though everybody thinks it's mundane and it's low. It is not. It's a very high calling in Christ. And a big question is, do you love God more than the world's economic system? If you ask him to help you get out of debt, will you obey him when he asks you to give? This is a key. Many believers are talking the talk, but are you walking the walk? This is a day of a new portion of glory. Jesus is calling you to be his third heaven people. Make this choice to be part of the third heaven church and allow him to mark you with generosity and prosperity. Experience the joy firsthand. I know there's somebody in this church who doesn't even have a penny to scrape together. But God told him, every Wednesday, I want you to give me, I think it was $50. So every Wednesday, they've been faithful to give him $50. And so now it's going to bless that person because they gave out of a very dire need. All right? Now, the third heaven church should be water walkers. Are you listening? I wished I'd had the faith to walk in that puddle of water that night. Every time I study the scripture, it upsets me at myself. Matthew 14:22. As soon as the meal was finished, Jesus insisted that the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the people. You know, and that excited me too there, because he didn't tell the disciples to dismiss the people while he went away. He sent the disciples away, and then he stayed and dismissed the people. With the crowd dispersed, the reason why I leave and have y'all dismiss the people, because I have to get Isaiah out here, okay? With the crowd dispersed, he climbed the mountain so he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. They were scared out of their wits. "A ghost," they said, crying out in terror. But Jesus was quick to comfort them. "Courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." Peter, suddenly bold, said, "Master, if it's really you, call me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come ahead." Jumping out of the boat, Peter walked on the water to Jesus. But when he looked down at the waters churning beneath his feet, he lost his nerve and started to sink, and he called, "Master, save me." Jesus didn't hesitate. He reached down and grabbed his hand, and then he said, "Faint heart, what got into you? Oh, you little faith. You were walking on the water. What made you sink?" How many of you in here, you've been walking on the water, but all of a sudden something made you sink? You lost your faith to go ahead and go forth and do the things God's calling you forth to do. Could be somebody speaking into your life that you trusted, and you said, "Well, maybe I'm wrong." Well, don't ever maybe you're wrong yourself. If you've heard God, then you go ahead and do what God's telling you to do. All right, the two of them climbed into the boat. Jesus and Peter climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. The disciples in the boat, having watched the whole thing, worshipped Jesus, saying, "This is it. You are God's son for sure." See, because of a miracle, now they believed. On return, they beached the boat at Gennesaret. When the people got wind that he was back, they sent out word through the neighborhood and rounded up all the sick, who asked for permission to touch the edge of his coat, and whoever touched him was healed. You know, in another version of this, it says when he got in the boat, they were immediately on the shore. The second his feet hit that boat was on the shore. There's another miracle, right? So whoever asked for permission to touch the edge of Jesus' coat, and whoever touched him was healed. Nothing. This is nothing but raw, awesome, divine miracles. That's just what, as I read that, I thought, that's all that is. Should be happening to the third heaven church. This is what should be happening in our church. Raw, awesome, divine miracles. I just wrote that down because I thought, this is so awesome. All these miracles that Jesus did, we all proclaim to have Jesus in us. And if we have Jesus in us, then we have the anointing of Jesus in us, and we can do the same things that Jesus did. If you meet the criteria we talked about this morning, all right? Acts 3:1-10. Now, Peter, now, if you feel like that God wants you to reach out and touch somebody, don't say, "Well, Pastor Barbara said I have to have A, B, C, and D, and E in line." If God is telling you to reach out and touch somebody, reach out and touch them. All right? That's the Holy Spirit initiating you to go ahead and do something for God. Then go ahead and do it. Don't stop and think, "Well, I'm not right. I don't have C in line yet." Just do it. But if you want to walk in a miracle working miracles that Jesus walked in, you're really going to have to line up with what we're taught this morning. Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily to gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Peter and John didn't have not one single material thing to give them, but they had the anointing of God inside of them, and that's what they used to heal the man. All right? So he, leaping up, and stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Peter said, "Rise up and walk," and the man did. So if you are a third heaven church, people should be looking at you in amazement because of the signs and wonders that are following you. Did you receive the third heaven calling? Then why aren't you doing the same thing? I really want you guys to think about this. Because you know God has, he came in here and he told us to please come up into the third heaven with me. Up into the third heaven is where all the anointing is. Up into the third heaven you'll be filled with the anointing of God to go back and do the miracles that God wants us to do. And I don't know about you, but I believe with all my heart it's miracle working time. Miracle working time. John 6:1 says, "After these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased." Why did they follow Jesus? Because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. They saw a miracle. Come on. You're going to have to show the world a miracle to get him to come into the house of God. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, Jesus was testing Philip because he already knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" That's just like you and I. A little doubt, not a believers, right? Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. It just says the men sit down. It didn't say the women and children, and there was 5,000 men there, plus the women and children. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, Jesus said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." See, we just throw it into trash, but he said, "Gather it up. Waste not, want not," right? Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Now, he fed over 5,000 people on how many loaves of bread? 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, and had all this left over. Now, God's told us that whenever there is no food, he would feed us, but how many of us really believe that? If you're third heaven church, you're going to have to start walking in faith, believing that God is able to supply every one of your needs. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." They saw all the signs, wonders, and miracles. Then they believed. You see what I'm trying to get at here? Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because of a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. They were afraid. But he said to them, oh, this is that scripture. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Another miracle. Third heaven church should be walking in one miracle after the other, just like Jesus did. Come on. If you really think that Jesus is inside of you, which he is, then you should have the anointing that Jesus has, because Jesus was pure anointing, and you should be walking in signs, wonders, and miracles if you are doing the things God has called you forth to do. Acts 4. You know, how are you going to win a soul if you don't? You just tell Jesus is real. He's alive. So big whoop. They've heard that for quite some time. There should be something in you that could perform a miracle. All right. There should be something in you that draws people to you, singles you out. And that thing is the anointing that's inside of you that draws people to you. That night, that young man, you know, he was there painting and we were there doing other things. And he'd come right to me, out of the people in the kitchen, and said, "How long have you been preaching?" And I said, "Oh, about 35 years. And he started crying and said, "I need help." He didn't go to anybody else. He was drawn to the anointing. Are you understanding that? Not to me, but to the anointing. Now, how many of you people are drawing people to the anointing? You need to think about that. Acts 4, verse 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Ananias, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. So anyhow, these men were preaching, and because of the anointing, 5,000 people believed, even though the ones that were speaking were thrown into prison. But at least they got 5,000 converts. Are you listening here? We can't get one. All right, verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, see that? Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." And he didn't take any credit for it. He said, "Jesus Christ did it." And see, this is another problem. When God uses us to do something, we get all puffed up with pride, and we never give God the glory for what is being done. We take the glory. Early on in the ministry, God said to me, "Always give me the glory for everything that's done in this church. Never take the glory upon yourself, because it's not you that's doing it. It's me." And when I told this before, I'll tell it again so you can remember. One time, God was really doing great and powerful things here at the altar. And all of a sudden, I thought, "Look what I've just done." And I said, "Devil, you're a liar in the name of Jesus." And I stopped and I said, "Everybody, let's just give God the glory, because look what he just did here." You know, the devil will do that. He'll speak to you and try to make you get all puffed up in pride. And I knew right away that wasn't God. So I immediately stopped what we were doing and we gave God the honor and the glory, and he kept on moving. "This is a stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." They're talking about Jesus. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter, see, you have to be bold. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. See, you don't have to go to college. It's better that you don't go to college. They were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Come on. When I first came on the scene, you know, I didn't go to Bible school or nothing. And everybody else had been to Bible school and any other kind of school there was. And so they couldn't believe that I was real, that I could do anything. Because after all, I hadn't been away to Bible school. That's why the one pastor didn't want to ordain me, but the Holy Spirit did. And I got ordained. So you see, saints of God, don't worry about how educated you are or how trained you are. You're walking in the Spirit, so the Spirit of God will always tell you what to do. Always, always, always. You really don't want to use your mind to do anything. You always want Jesus to take control. And verse 14 said, all right, so verse 13 said, "And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." if you're really walking with God and you're really walking in signs, wonders, and miracles, you know, people just, they can say whatever they want to, but they have to their self say, this is real. You know? Third Heaven Church should be walking in boldness and proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. And when people see you, they will know that you have been with Jesus. All right? Now let's look and see what else we need here in Joshua 7:4. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Sherbin and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. There was a war going on, all right, and the enemy overtook them. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. You know, I want to stop there because this, if you're a leader, this is one thing you have to do. When you see things are out of whack, you need to take yourself alone before God. You need to cry out to God and see what the problem is. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. He sounded like the children of Israel, didn't he? Then he went on to say, oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? See what he did? Turned it all over to God, didn't he? Then what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned. See, he got mad. Joshua turned it on to him, but it was really the Israelite people's problem. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. See, you're transgressing God's covenant somewhere. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. See that if you're in sin, you can't stand before your enemies. You just can't. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they had become doomed to destruction. They turned their back because they were being killed. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. He told this to Joshua. Joshua. And he promised Joshua he would always be with him. But he told Joshua here, neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. Because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Now see, God told Joshua exactly what to say to the people. And if you have a problem and God, if you see God's face, God will tell you exactly what to say to the people. So, he made the people, if you read the rest of the story, Joshua did what God told him to do, and sure enough, the accursed things were there. And he got rid of them, and then God blessed them. So you're wondering why the enemy has full control over your life? Well, what kind of a cursed thing are you living with? All right? I'm hearing God say, what do you have hidden in your closet but nobody knows except him and you, and you think you're the only one that knows it? Third Heaven Church must walk in complete holiness. You cannot have any accursed thing in you. God's word tells us, be ye holy as I am holy. This is the next thing. That's what we just read. Be ye holy as I am holy. Leviticus 11:44 says, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy as I am holy, for I am holy. That's God's word. That's Old Testament. But it's also in the New Testament. And then Exodus 3:4 says, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. And then he said to Joshua in chapter 5:15, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. when I was first born again, God told me, he said, every place you place your foot becomes holy ground, because I am in you and I am holy. Now, what kind of ground are you producing? Are you producing holy ground or perverted ground? You have to stop and think about that. However you're living, that's the kind of ground that you're producing wherever place you walk. 1 Samuel 2:2, no one is holy like the Lord. You have to remember that too. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Psalm 24:3-5, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? This is who can do that. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. That's who can stand in the holy place. Are you able to stand in the holy place tonight? Or are there things in your life that you've got to get cleaned up? You better do it quickly. I'm hearing God say, because I'm coming quickly, and I will undo those who are not walking as I told them to walk. All right, then, Third Heaven Church, do you meet God's criteria? The Lighthouse Church was called to be a Third Heaven Church. Do you meet God's criteria? God said, faith and greater faith is my word to you. The time of renewing your faith has come. We need to always remember that when we are in the midst of the fire doesn't change who God is, but it does change who you are. We need to always remember that when we are in the midst of the fire doesn't change who God is, but it does change who you are. That's how it's supposed to work. But I don't believe it works that way all the time. Amen. David said, surely the goodness and mercy shall follow or pursue me all the days of my life. Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me or pursue me all the days of my life. Do you really believe that? Are you really walking where God wants you to walk so this can happen? The same goes for you and I as we surrender ourselves totally and completely over to God. As we turn ourselves totally and completely over to God, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. We want goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our life and still live like we're living in hell. And that can't happen, church. You're called the Third Heaven Church. And God's saying, I'm cleaning this church up, and those who won't walk in the third heaven realm will be removed. So, you know, each one of us tonight, each one of you already did my searching, all right? Each one of you have got to search your heart and say, where am I really at? And am I really trying to change and be the third heaven church that God has called me to be? Tonight, God is calling us as a third heaven church to totally and completely surrender all to him and walk in the third heaven and receive all the blessing he has for us. We are the water walkers in the third heaven. We do carry signs, wonders, and miracles with us in the third heaven. We can do all things as a third heaven church. Rise up and fight that mantra that has been telling you that you shall never cross over. Rise up and fight that mantra that tells you God did not call you to come up hither into the third heaven and abide there. Let's read that again, Nancy. We are water walkers in the third heaven. We do carry signs, wonders, and miracles with us in the third heaven. We can do all things as a third heaven church. Rise up and fight that monster that has been telling you that you will never cross over. Rise up and fight that monster that tells you God did not call you to come up hither into the third heaven and abide there. You know, the devil's going to speak all kinds of things into your life. Are you going to listen to him? God's been speaking all kinds of things in your life, but you didn't listen to him either, but you listened to everything the devil tells you. Come on. So you're saints of God, if you're really part of the third heaven church and you're going to change, you're not going to remain status quo. Something in your life has to happen to make you change, to make you want to walk in signs, wonders, and miracles. Yes, Jesus is in you. And yes, the anointing is there. But, you know, it will not work in its fullness unless you are doing everything that God told you to do. Now, this service in the morning and the evening was to get this church lined up with what God's trying to do. The devil's trying to destroy this church, but God is trying to keep it going and keep it built up. Now, it depends on each one of you. You have to work out your own salvation. You can't rely on somebody else to walk it out for you. You have to be the one to go before God. You have to be the one that hears God's voice for what he's calling you forth to do. Not somebody else, but you. And as you stand before the throne of grace, and as you really give your all to God, God is going to be with you, and he's going to tell you all things. I even went to God's court 2 weeks ago and just really more or less demanded something from God, and he said, well, give it to me, but 3 nights ago, he said, I'm not giving that to you. I know how you operate. You operate out of your heart of compassion, but also know how the other person's heart is, and I'm not giving you what I promised you I'd give you because they won't change. So I don't care what you ask me to do. I'm going to do what I have to do. Even though he told me he would do it, he said, I'm not doing it now because they will not change. So saints of God, see, this is the kind of conversation you need to have with God. This is the kind of, I should say, the partnership you have with God, that he will come to you at any given time and tell you anything that you need to understand or to know. You need to be a person that's open to God to hear the truth, even though the truth hurts. You need to be open to God to be able to walk and function in boldness in him. You walk in boldness. That doesn't mean you go around acting all aggressive and everything, but you're bold in the grace and the compassion of God. Come on. And I'm hearing God saying it's time that the Lighthouse Church rise up out of the ashes that you let yourself fall into, and you become the third heaven church that I'm calling you to become. And so I can send you forth in boldness and with signs, wonders, and miracles following. So it's time, saints of God. I don't know how much more time you have to be obedient to God and to sell yourself out totally and completely to him. But tonight, God is calling you to rise up and do something. So the altar is open. Whenever you come up here, you ask, you tell God what you need from him tonight. You tell him, you know, what you would like, you know, I don't care what you say to God, but it's between you and God tonight. There's things going to happen in your life, too, to make you feel very unsaved, but you're still saved. You know, you need to get angry at sin. You need to place the devil under your feet every single solitary day. And when you see sin in others, you don't allow that to destroy you. You use that as a stepping stone to get higher in Christ. And you're going to break that spirit of compromise in you, too.